Grainer, and I want to welcome you to the Dare to Believe podcast. And it's my honor today to be chatting with Teresa Anderson, a dear friend of ours and a pastoral counselor with Dare to Believe Ministries. Hi, Teresa.
Hi, Christy.
Thank you for being here.
Yes, it's an honor and a privilege.
Yeah. So for people who may or may not know what pastoral counseling is, you have been a pastoral counselor with Dare to Believe Ministries for a few years now.
Yes.
And you have been through our ministry school, but you've been much more ministry than that as well. Can you just kind of bring us up to speed on what kind of person is drawn to be a pastoral counselor and what your background is in ministry and how you got to this point?
I've been in ministry for quite many years now, probably going back to, I did some women's ministry in the church, it's probably been 20 years or so now. I've been trained in Elijah House, went through ETS here, which was a game changer.
And ETS is the Emerge Transformation School.
Yes. So did that for a couple of years. And then I've also been trained with Danny Silk in the Keep Your Love On. And just really good tools on teaching people good communication skills, teaching healthy boundaries, learning to keep your love on, to choose love over fear. I feel like my life has been kind of a journey through that, going through just way back when, brief testimony.
Okay.
My childhood, I just had a real painful childhood. Went through, my parents got divorced when I was 9. And
prior to 9, it wasn't a healthy family either.
No.
Right. So just rough time as a kid.
Right. Yes. Dealt with a lot of fear as a kid. And just, yes. And so my parents divorced when I was 9. And my mom was a very passive person. She was a Christian. She was a broken Christian. And she just made some bad choices. And she married a man who became my stepfather.
And how many kids were in the family at that point?
Well, we had seven kids, so I'm the youngest of 7. And I moved away with my 2 other sisters, and we lived with this abusive man for 4 years.
So you and your mother and 2 of your siblings
moved
away with your stepfather.
Yes.
And what happened to, because you were the youngest of all these, so were they old enough to move out, or what happened?
Yeah, they
them?
Were old enough to move out, and they were they were. I think I had a brother who was 17 or 18, but they were just basically on their own.
Yeah, and it was a bad situation. So sometimes teenagers just want to
be
free. Yes, but you were not old enough to do that, so you were stuck in this.
Yeah, we were under his control.
And 9 years old, so it's hard. So then what happened?
So we lived with him and my mother for about 3.5 to 4 years. And the Child Protection Services came in. And I was actually at a parochial school then, in private school, you know. But, I mean, doesn't matter where you go to school, because that kind of stuff happens everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Abusive families can be anywhere.
Yes, so they got note of it. Actually, my sisters that I had lived with ran away. And so that's how social workers came in and found out what was happening to us. And so I actually had a social worker come to my school in the 7th grade and pull me down to the office. And you start asking me these questions, you know. And it was terrifying because I was very withdrawn by then. You know, and I would just wanted to say, nope, you know, and leave. But there was a little voice, that inside my head that said, tell this man the truth, you know, what's going on. And I did. And so I was actually taken away that day. They told me not to ride the bus home. And I went to an older sibling's home that lived out right down the road. And that's kind of how we got taken away. After that, we went through a trial. It was very traumatic. I had to testify against my stepfather.
So you're like 12 or 13 years old.
I was 12.
12, and you had to testify against your stepfather.
Yeah.
And he was found guilty.
He was found guilty, yeah.
But then what happened?
Well, then we kind of went through more court proceedings and stuff, but we ended up having to be put in foster homes. So I was 13 by then, and I was, again, separated from all of my siblings that time, you know, and my family.
And it's got to be very confusing for a kid.
Yes, yes. And my mother, too, because my mother, bless her heart, you know, she made bad choices. I loved her, but she did choose to stay with him.
Yeah, and knowing what was going on, probably.
Well, she was a victim as well, and she didn't believe it.
Yeah.
So, which unfortunately that happens more often than we think.
And I'm so grateful for a couple things. First of all, that someone listened and believed the kids and found out.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge.
Yes.
And then secondly, that you were brave enough to tell the truth.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people aren't able to do that because of one reason or another. And so the healing is different in their lives. But you were getting to that point, even though it was still quite painful. And then what happened next?
Very painful. That was a tough time in my life. So then I was put in I had a good foster family. I actually had a friend. She was my best friend, and her father came forth. Bless his heart. They had 8 children, and he came forth and he said, "You know what? My daughter told me what happened, and you're welcome at our house." So they became my foster family.
Okay.
And I just became one of their kids, really. Mm-hmm. But because of just back then, it's like people didn't really go to counseling or that type thing. So nothing was ever talked about. I didn't have any counseling or anything. I was just put in this new family. And honestly, I developed an orphan spirit. I mean, I went into survival mode because I just, the trauma and the pain that I had dealt with, you know, nothing was dealt with, but I had gone through. So even though I was living with a foster family that loved me, all of the pain and the trauma that I had gone through was stuffed down. And I went into survival mode. And even though I looked normal in high school, you know, I was really hurting and yeah, I just developed.
And isn't that interesting? You look normal, and you're a very beautiful person. So people probably looked at you and said, "Well, she's got everything going for her," and having no idea what was going on inside of us. So for a lesson for us all to listen to people and to let our hearts connect with people, because you never know what's going on.
Right. Right. Yeah, so I went through high school. I was in sports, which was, I was an athlete, and that was so wonderful that I could do that because I really think that's what got me through. But because of what I had gone through, my boundaries had been violated, and I didn't know how to protect myself. I actually had some abusive boyfriends in high school, and some other stuff happened to me because none of the stuff that I had
been through was processed.
Been through. Yes. Yes.
And so often that's the case, isn't it? That even though you know it's not good, you are drawn to what you know because it's familiar and you understand enough about it to be drawn to it. You don't even know at this point in your life, at that point, you did not know to have how to have healthy relationships because you hadn't. Even in the family, you hadn't had healthy relationships. So.
And you don't feel you deserve it. You feel you're unworthy, and that's what you believe because you believe the enemy's lies and you don't know your identity. And just to back up a little bit, God is so faithful, though, because when I was, you know, I used to say I was dropped off in that foster home. I had a paper bag full of clothes. That was my belongings by myself. I was dropped off. But you know what? That same year, it was during the kind of the Catholic revival, kind of way back to the Jesus People movement. You can know how old I am. But they were having charismatic meetings in this little hall that the school that I went to. And my older sister had become a Christian going through all the stuff that my family went through. And they did an altar call. And I was there, and I accepted Jesus. I still remember where I was sitting. I still remember that little white old building that I was in.
And so this is around 9 years old, or how old?
So this was when I was 13. So this was right after I was dropped off into that foster home.
Okay.
And though, you know, it remained a mustard seed in my heart. I didn't have anyone at that time to disciple me, and I didn't have, I didn't really know the Bible then. But, you know, that mustard seed's powerful, you know.
Right, and so that's interesting. Yeah, the journey is you receive the faith.
Yes.
You receive Jesus, and community wasn't there for you. That's why community is so important in our walk with Christ, is that you have people around you who are healthy and love you and pray for you and walk with you through what God is doing in your life.
Yes, yes.
None of that works in isolation,
does
it?
No, no. Yeah, so that, I do believe, though, that that really saved my life in a lot of situations that I had been in. But so then fast forward back to getting out of high school, I met my husband now, my wonderful husband, when I was 21 or 19, got married when I was 22 to him.
So how did it go? You had some abusive boyfriends, but your husband's an amazing, wonderful, loving, kind person. So how did you end up with a husband like that? How did you...
You know what?
How did you learn to love yourself enough to choose a good man like this?
Yes. Well, really, you know, getting away from the abusive boyfriends was pretty traumatic. And yeah, and that, by the grace of God, I got away. And then by the grace of God, I met my husband, and I still carried a lot of that pain and that trauma. So I knew, and early in our marriage, you know, we had little babies at that time, and that's when I started to just, my anxiety, and I just knew that I had to deal with the stuff that I had stuffed down, you know, and get out of my self-protection mode. So that's when I decided to go to, I found a church that actually dealt with adult survivors of abuse. And my sister, closest to me, actually went through that with me. And one of the requirements to do that was to go to a Christian counselor individually.
Okay.
So, because back then, you just, you know, a lot of people didn't do counseling like that. And so that's...
And you don't know to do it.
No.
Sometimes.
No.
So they required it.
Yeah. No. You don't, you know, it just wasn't, yes. And it was kind of a taboo thing almost. But... Yeah, it was life-changing. And then I knew I needed to deal with, because I had faith, but it was like, and I knew that this stuff was holding me back. I knew there was more for me that God had for me, but it was holding me back. So I had to deal with my own insecurities and that trauma and process that pain. And so that's kind of where my journey started. I went through counseling. I went through Inner Healing Ministries for my own pain, and then eventually I started to get into leadership positions, but I went through BSF too, so I was able to learn God's word, and that was life changing for me as well, because just knowing his word, it's transforming, it transforms you. So little by little, God has healed me. You know, it was a process. It's not easy. It's not easy to go back.
And it isn't instantaneous necessarily.
He's
teaching you and training you as you go, not just on how to get rid of the brokenness, but how to maintain growth and how to learn to be healthy.
Right.
And so a lot of people would like it just to disappear, and sometimes that happens, but it seems that usually it's a journey. Because you're learning, you're being discipled, you're being trained, you're being healed in the process on how to be a healthy, strong person. Mm-hmm.
Yes. You know, and that trust is such a foundation, you know. And when you grow up with children that are abused, you know, that their foundation is just, they don't have it, you know. It's just cracked, you know. So we have to, it's so hard not to go into that self-preservation, you know, those tools. And when, you know, however old you are, you know, this is what I do to protect myself. And I go into that fear mode. Mm-hmm. And what the fear mode does is it shuts down all your spiritual gifts, and you're your own protector. Mm-hmm. So that's something that...
Versus letting God be your protection.
Yes. And, so,
but if you don't know how,
right?
And you're broken, you can't,
right?
You don't know how to let God be your protection.
Right. So this is something that I've walked through for many years, and ETS, your Emerge Transformation School, was just a game changer for me, because I know again, you know, God's calling me into more things, and God is faithful, and I know that he, my life verse is Romans 8:28, and even though it may be cliche, it's like he uses everything that we go through for the good. And I look at all the stuff that the enemy threw at me, you know, and now he's healed it, and I see it in other people, and I recognize when people have orphan spirits, and I recognize when people are just riddled with that fear that I was for so many years, mm-hmm. you know, and it's like, it's like if we learn to partner with love, you know, which is the Lord, break off that fear and trust him that he, you know, I finally learned it's sometimes it's still difficult, but that he's my protector and I can trust him. And
two things that are occurring to me as you're saying this is, one is that it's never too late because, you're blessed to get into a healthier home as a teenager. Mm-hmm. And then you married, but you still had to work on things. And mm-hmm. you, as a young woman, you worked through some things and continue to work on things. So I just encourage people that it's never mm-hmm. too late to work on healing what the enemy's done.
Never.
But also, you have a real call on your life to bring healing and wholeness and healthy relationships and mm-hmm. healthy families and joy into people's lives. You have a real call on your life to do that. And it just comes naturally to you because you're mm-hmm. gifted that way and you're designed that way by the Lord. However, look where the enemy attacked you from the moment you were born almost mm-hmm. in that area mm-hmm. of family, in that area of mm-hmm. relationship, in that area of healthy mm-hmm. relationships. Mm-hmm. That's where the biggest attacks take place. And so mm-hmm. it's so common for people to get attacked in the area that mm-hmm. their greatest mm-hmm. Potential is, especially when you don't know how to have and the Lord's not welcoming that home. The Lord's not, you know, there's this dysfunction and pain.
Yes.
And we can tell story after story. So I love that your story is one of those, mm-hmm. that not mm-hmm. only did you live through that, but you lived through that and God did work it for good.
Yes.
And
yes.
you are a woman who knows yes. how to help others
yes.
get that healing.
Yes.
Get
yes.
whole. And mm-hmm. set healthy boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I love it. I mean, I feel so honored and blessed that I can be a part of this ministry because I see him work every time. And when clients come in, that I get to do pastoral counseling with them because I understand a lot of times I can relate to what they're going through. Mm-hmm. And I've been trained in SOZO, so I can, if they're willing, to do some SOZO tools. But a lot of them need some, you know, they just need someone to listen. I mean, right. it's such a gift to somebody to just sit and listen if they need to process, or they need people to pray for them, to help them process their pain, to help them recognize what emotion they're feeling, you know, and maybe how teach them how to process their pain, how to deal with their emotions. And
give wise counsel as well. It's like you listen to them, but you mm-hmm. in a kind way, you wouldn't call yourself teaching, but in a very kind way, you teach people how to put mm-hmm. in those healthy boundaries,
yes.
how
yes.
to insert God's truth into their life, mm-hmm. how to insert heaven's perspective into their life.
Yes, yes, yeah. yes. And let them realize that, you know, God, it's never too late, you know, wherever they're at, you know, that God is there
right.
and he can heal them. And
So you personally have been both with a licensed therapist and you have done pastoral counseling. How would you describe, because we love therapists, we have some mm-hmm. Therapists mm-hmm. that work with our ministry, we're not opposed mm-hmm. to Christian mm-hmm. psychologists, mm-hmm. but there's a difference between going to a psychologist and coming to pastoral counseling. How would you describe that to somebody?
Well, you know, a licensed therapist, I think they can prescribe medication maybe, and we don't, you know, they sometimes can, and label isn't the right word, but diagnose, I guess. We don't do that. We just basically that, you know, the Holy Spirit, we're led by the Holy Spirit. And he's amazing. I mean, I see him every session, you know, how he heals. And people, you know, let us know how they're being healed. So they both have purposes, and licensed therapists are wonderful and needed as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if someone comes in, they are able to come in for SOZO, which we find that takes maybe mm-hmm. one, maybe two sessions, but generally, mm-hmm. and then people might come back once a year to kind of make sure they're clean,
yes.
they're cleaned up spiritually. But a pastoral counseling sessions mm-hmm. are different because mm-hmm. your intention is to walk with them longer term.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So yes. can you explain what someone would expect if they came in for pastoral counseling?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they may need to just process what they've gone through, and we pray with them. We do SOZO tools. If it's, you know, we're always encouraging people to forgive, you know, because we're commanded to forgive. But sometimes people are not ready. They're not ready to that point yet. They need to process their pain as well. So we're just there to help them, to understand them, to encourage them.
And you're there as much as they want. They can yes. come every week, every month, whatever mm-hmm. is best for them, whatever works for them. Mm-hmm. If they want to, they can continue to see you, and
yes.
you will support
yes.
them, and you will help them and pray for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. In fact, we've had one gal, well, a few of them, that I think she's been coming for probably 2 years or more. And
every month or so, or how often does she come?
She comes about once a month. Yes. And it just depends on the person. If we think they need more, you know, we maybe do every 2 weeks, but most of them are every month or so. But she, when she came the first time, she was, her anxiety was so high. She couldn't be in social situations at all. Just a lot of trauma. I mean, and now she's was able, just last month, she was able to get up and she gave her testimony at our church.
In front of people.
So yes, in front of people. Yes.
Such social anxiety. So just loving on people, mm-hmm. partnering, connecting them with heaven, connecting mm-hmm. them with the Lord who
yes.
brings the healing, giving mm-hmm. wisdom and discernment, using the word of God, mm-hmm. helping them to teach healthy boundaries,
mm-hmm.
all those things.
And just letting them know. I mean, the thing that always stands out to me is that they don't know their identity, and their identity is in Christ,
mm-hmm.
you know, and who they are in Christ, you know, because the people that have been abused since I went through it, you know, you believe those lies. The enemy is, he doesn't care, you know, how old you are, you know, so to just break off those lies and encourage them to just to believe that they are cherished by their God.
And if someone is interested and they're like, you know, maybe I haven't been abused, but I'm having anxiety and I'd mm-hmm. like to sit in, or this sounds like my story, whatever mm-hmm. their reason, mm-hmm. and they would like to make an appointment with you, how would they go about doing that?
They can go right on the website.
Dare to Believe, dtbmn.org.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and just request a pastoral counseling session.
It's mm-hmm. right on the website.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Teresa is the person who does that. She has intercessors that are with her.
Yes.
And yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
So would you just close by praying over our listeners? Anybody that maybe their heart's pounding because their story is abuse,
yeah.
or
yeah.
they just have anxiety, or they have brokenness, whatever the need is, would you just pray over them that they would get what they need, whether it's from you or from another pastor or a counselor who can help them?
Mm-hmm.
Would you just pray
mm-hmm.
for our listeners?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. So Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come now and we just ask that you would reach, you would touch those people's hearts right now that may be listening, Lord, that may need healing in their lives, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you would come now, that you would comfort them, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts, Lord, that they are worthy, that they are valuable, that they are loved, Lord. And Lord, I just pray for provision and protection for them, Lord. And I pray that Holy Spirit, you would direct them to whoever it is that you're calling them to, Lord, that they would come to know who they are in you. Yeah, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So again, this is Christy Grainer with Dare to Believe Ministries, and I'm speaking with Teresa Anderson, pastoral counselor with Dare to Believe. And if you would like to connect with Teresa, you just go to our website, dtbmn.org, and request pastoral counseling.